We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can comment on the Facebook post. We'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. If you'd like a entry onto our book Blessing Wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. Our book for this month is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. Covered all? I think I covered it. We do record in two parts. We will get those uploaded to the website shortly after the program has ended.
Don't fib. There ain't no we to that okay, part.
I'll do that.
There might be three parts if it gets long-winded.
And that's okay, too.
We don't mind that.
No. I think I covered it all now.
Yeah.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. Heavenly Father, we just we're so thankful for who you are in our lives, God. Today, I just thank you for you waking me up this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to get to live life today, to get to bring glory to your name, God. Father, I just bless the ears that are hearing today. Father, your word instructs us that the enemy comes to steal the word from our lives. But God, I just thank you that you also promise that as we just seek into you and we let our roots grow down deep into you, Father, we are established in you like a tree that's planted by the rivers of the water. So, God, I just thank you that as this word is brought forth today, Father, that that would fall on good soil, Father, and that it would take deep root in our hearts, Father, and that as we just discussed today how you are our comfort, God, that that would just resonate within the deepest part of who we are, God. And we just thank you for everything that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, The Comforter.
The Comforter. So as I was telling those ladies, I never know what I'm going to talk about half the time. People ask me for outlines or titles and all that, and it's kind of hard for me to do. I was even praying this morning, like, God, where are we going today, or do you have something for me? And I just really didn't get an answer. And then it's just like, well, okay, then I know you're going to say what you got to say when we get there. And we just kind of, I trust him that way. Oftentimes when I'm in a place where I just teach, that's what I do. This is an overflow for my life. It's not me preparing to bring something for you guys. It's just an overflow for my life, my time with God, my study with him. And then I just get to bring that out and share with other people. So that makes it easier, takes all the pressure off. So today, I just kind of want to talk about one of the things we've been going through at our home group. We've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. And so I just want to talk about that today a little bit. And I want to read a few. I may bounce around a little bit today in Scripture, but I want to go to 2 Corinthians 1 to start us off. And, of course, this is a letter that's written from Paul to the church of Corinth at this time. And as we look at the word, oftentimes we'll see that the instructions that are given were to specific people. But what we also have to understand in the context of Scripture, God brought all of these words forward in time through the Bible, right? to give us instruction, because his word says that he's no respecter of men. So therefore, if he says it to one, he says it to all of us. Mm-hmm. And that's how we see the stories as are recorded through history of the Bible. If God did it 1,000 years ago for them, he'll do it 1,000 years later for us, right? So when we look at the scripture, sometimes there'll be specific context where he's talking to a specific people group or a specific person. But again, if he's saying that to them, God's saying it to us. I seen a pretty interesting statistic yesterday. I know there was a graph that was kind of going around. It was pretty popular on social media there for a minute. And it showed basically all the prophetic words that go through the Bible. And then it showed these lines, and it was like a rainbow. And they just went back and forth where the word had confirmed itself through prophecy. And that in itself is amazing. But what I thought was really interesting about the statistic was, you know, a lot of people will say, well, how can you prove that your God is the right one? How can you prove that your God is the only true God? There's no other book in the entire world that pulls out the natural knowledge even of what this looks like. Over 1,800 and something prophecies and confirmations from word to word, but that was written over 1,500 years by 40 different people. It would be one thing, one guy, it would be amazing if one guy could pull that off writing mm-hmm. a book, right? But for 40 men to have penned the word of God through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who we're going to be talking about today, he is the one that influenced their writings, right? He's the one that spoke through their hands, per se, over 1,500 years, 40 of those people, and over 1,800 confirmations back and forth. Like, that's proof in the pudding in itself, right?
Right.
But that is only at the book level. We all know as Christians that the Word of God is alive, it's active. I know I've been a follower of Christ for over 30 years now, reading His Word, and it still just blows my mind to this day how I can go read scriptures that I've read hundreds of times, honestly, and get revelation mm-hmm. again. Like, whoa, how did I not see that? But it just comes alive to me. And again, kind of looking at the Holy Spirit, like that's who He is in our life. He's the teacher. We mentioned Paul here. That's one of the things I find interesting about Paul in his life. Paul was actually taught by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many people know that, but when you read the word, we see the lives of all the other disciples, and they walked with Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And they gleaned from his life, watching his actions, hearing his words, all of those things. Now, Paul was a student of the word. He was a Pharisee. But he knew what the word of God said as far as scripture that was written. But we all know and see through his actions, he was missing it because he was Saul at that mm-hmm. time. And he was in full knowledge of the scripture as Saul, right? But it took his road to Damascus experience for God to wake him up. And as he said, I was once blind, but now I see. And oftentimes we look at that in the natural, because he was blinded in the natural. And then his sight was restored in the natural. But what you also see is his sight was restored in the supernatural. He began to see the things of God as the truth that they were, instead of through the lens of this organized, ceremonial, traditional religion that it had become. And we see Jesus, when he showed up, I mean, he was calling him out about that. He was pretty straightforward with the Pharisees and Sadducees of, hey, you guys are missing it. You're not seeing the truth of the word. And as we just mentioned, these things were written for hundreds of years prior, and like it was foretold of Jesus coming, the Messiah, and him being on his way, but they didn't see that according to the scripture, even when it stood right in front of their face. And, you know, I look at that in my own life in some aspect, because I grew up in a very religious system, and there was a lot of things that I thought I was right. And then when I really gave my heart to Christ and really just began to seek the truth of his word and allow the Holy Spirit to become my teacher, it changed everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can say I had the same moment as Paul in my own life. I was blind, but man, now I see things I never thought I would see before. I see the truths of God's word. And, one of the things, you know, God's been working on my heart. So if you guys have listened to some of my radio programs or even my Rumble channel, one of the things that I've been talking about is as the church, as the American Christian Church, we've kind of missed it. And that's kind of been working on my heart, because I know that that's a place that people can get offended as I verbalize those things. So I'm going to be more careful about even using that verbiage. And let's not talk about the things we're doing wrong. Let's just talk about the things we need to do right. And because I don't want to bring offense to anybody, what I do know as a mature Christian, we're instructed don't hold the offense. But some of us aren't there yet, you know, as we walk in Christianity. So I want to be careful with my words. I want to choose them wisely. And the Holy Spirit has just kind of been moving me, be like, hey, bro, just be careful, because we're here to love. We're not here to bring condemnation, right? And that's the voice that I want to be, is the voice of love, the voice of hope, the voice of building up, not the voice of condemnation or tearing down. So forgive me if I've offended you in the past in some of those words, but I'm definitely trying to be careful with that. I see, according to the truth of the scripture, there are some places that we're missing it, but we're going to talk about the places where we just need to be going. Let's focus on the mark, right? Paul talks about that himself. Let's run this race, and let's don't slow down. Let's just keep going. And if we get caught up on the stuff in the past or the other stuff that's not that important, and I talk about that about sin. Sin's the same way. Don't get caught up in your sin. Just follow. Because if you get caught up in the sin, you're stuck right there, you know? So just follow. So anyways, I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit and what that looks like in our life. So I'm going to read verse 3 out of 2 Corinthians and 1. So Paul says here, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." So comfort. Who's that comforter, right? So the Bible talks about it. It actually uses that word as the comforter. That's another word that it's used for the Holy Spirit. That's what he is in our life. So from here, I'm actually going to go over to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to read. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is all good. "So now, dear brothers, regarding your questioning about the special abilities that the Spirit gives, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit, again, right here we mentioned, right? The Comforter. That's what he brings into our life. He goes on in verse 4. "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we still serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." And we just read about that earlier on, right? Where God gives us comfort. Why? So we can give comfort too. Because there are people that are in different places in the body of Christ. And as you go and read through Corinthians here, it actually gives a great picture of what the body of Christ is, if you don't have that understanding. But just like our physical body, you know, there's not one part of me I can't do without. I want all of it. I don't want any pieces missing. You know, some pieces I use more than others, but it doesn't matter. There's not one that's more important than the other. So when we understand that, when we're maturing in the body of Christ in that way and understand who God is, it brings us a peace. And as the word says, it's a peace that passes the understanding, right? I've been in situations in my life where it was the hardest things that I'd ever went through in my flesh, right? And there was a time that I went through a situation in life where literally the skin on my body, my physical being, I get this picture of, we live out in Western Oklahoma, so everybody should be familiar with this. So you ever seen a fly land on a cow or on a horse's back, and they can literally like just shake their skin right there, and they're like trying to get that fly out of there, mm-hmm. right? Like I've been in places in my life just because of circumstance where my skin was literally shivering in that way because of the uncomfortability of the things that I was going through in life. But what blew my mind away in that moment, that even though the flesh, the outside of me was just shivering, the inside of me was still and it was calm because I knew and I had experienced the Comforter. And in that moment, even when I try to share that story with people, I'm like, I can't verbalize what that meant to me that day. There's no way that I can express in words what I felt in that moment because I was at total peace within, even though the outside, the flesh part of who I am, was shivering, you know? And to me, it was such a testimony of the strength of who God is, because oftentimes when we go through circumstance, even to the point where the outside is shaking, if we don't have the Comforter, if we're not in relationship with Him, we don't know who He is, the inside is doing the same thing. And that's called anxiety. That's called fear. That's called worry. All of those things where our insides are just being torn apart. Even in our minds, our thoughts are just going 100,000 miles an hour. We can't get a hold of them. We can't grasp them. That's why God has given the truth of His Word. So as we see His Word, as we lean into the Comforter that's within us, we can walk those things out, and you will experience God, just as we see in these scriptures, you will experience God just like these guys did. You can experience God today just like they did. What does His Word say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it for them, He'll do it for you, right? And what is the purpose of all that? What we just read, so you can reproduce that in others, right? If God has brought me comfort, then what is my job? To go and comfort those that don't understand that yet. You know, that's what we're called to. And we're going to talk about some of these giftings, but I just want to kind of walk this out. I'm going to continue reading. Number 7, verse 7 here in 1 Corinthians 12. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit to give a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, the other the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So I'm going to pause right here for a moment. We all know, and we've all seen, people can go and they can grab a scripture, right? And they'll just build a complete doctrine or teaching around this one little scripture. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what I see when people go in here and read this, they'll read that he says, to one he gives, to one he gives, to one he gives, and he names out all these giftings, right? And they'll say, yeah, I don't have any of those. Like, he skipped me. He forgot to give me one. What does it say? It says that these gifts come from the Spirit, right? So therefore, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead that lives in each one of us. You remember how I talked about earlier how this was written by 40 different men? This was only a piece of the puzzle that Paul had. He was sharing what God was showing him in that moment, but this was compiled into the whole Word of God. So we have to have the context of the Word of God, because if we just come in here and cherry pick one thing out, we will misunderstand what he's saying here, right? Because some people will say, well, I'm not familiar with any of these things. I don't think I have any of those gifts. And then they'll walk in that way thinking, well, the Holy Spirit just didn't choose to give me any of those things. That's not the truth. The Holy Spirit can function in any of these things in your life at any time. That's who He is, right? It is up for you to position yourself to be willing and available for Him to use you in that way, right? Because some people, and I know some people are, And all that is an understanding and a walking in that. So some people, they do have, you've got people in your life that, man, they just give good advice. Like, anytime I'm really got in a pickle in my life, I can just go ask this person, and it's just like, man, like 9 out of 10 times, like, they've got a good advice to give me to navigate the situation, right? As it goes on, special knowledge. There are times in your life where you've got somebody comes up, and as we call it in the Christian world, they read your mail, dude. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're like, how did you know that? They didn't, but he did, right? Because the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. God is an omnipresent being, right? He's everywhere, every time. He sits in the theater of every one of our hearts. He doesn't miss a thing, right? And so when they speak those things, it's not from their understanding, it's from his. That's a gift of the Spirit, right? Some for healing. Again, we see people that sometimes walk more prominently in certain gifts than others. But that does not limit, because it doesn't limit God in you to perform his work through you, because you're the body of Christ, right? You're part of the body. There's not one part that can say to the other, I don't need you. God can use who he chooses, when he chooses, how he chooses, if they're willing. And that's the thing. They have to be willing. Again, there's one in here that says, mentions faith to the same Spirit. This is in verse 9. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And some people, we are so guilty as in humanity of comparing ourselves among ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And we'll look at one person, and we'll look at this Christian, and we'll say, oh gosh, they have so much more faith than I do. Again, the context of Scripture. What does the Scripture say? It says, to each one he has given the measure of faith. The. It didn't say A, because A would mean, well, you got a little, you got a lot, and man, this guy's overflowing, right? That's not how God does it. He's no respecter of men. He speaks about that in his word as well. He is going to meet you where you're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at the life of Jesus as he walked on earth. How many times did he mention to those people in a moment of healing, it's your faith. It's your faith that has made you whole in this moment. And what do we see? We've seen different things. I think about the woman that had the blood issue, right? She had already conditioned her heart, if I can just touch him. That's faith. She was already applying the faith before he ever showed up. If I can get to him when he shows up, this will be restored, right? And what did she do? She pushed through the crowd. What is that? Faith in action, mm-hmm. right? Go read the book of James. Faith without the action, it's dead. It doesn't bring anything into her life. She could have sat there and believed Jesus could heal her the old time. And if she never moved from her place to touch that garment, she would have not been healed that day. God responds to our faith and our action to that faith, right? So as that woman crawled and touched the hem of his garment, what happened? Bam. Instantly she was healed. So much for the fact that Jesus felt to leave his body and he stopped the whole crowd, right? And then I think about the centurion. What did he do? He come up and he addressed Jesus and he said, if you'll just give the word, because I understand authority. I understand the delegation of authority and how that works. All you have to do is say it. And I know even though my child is not here, they're there, it'll be done. And what did Jesus say to him in that moment? I have not seen a greater faith among any of them, right? Again, that was a place where he had already decided it didn't matter. He put his faith in Jesus Christ, knowing if you'll just say it, if you'll just say it, I know that it'll be taken care of over there. What did we see? We seen faith in action. Both of them had the same result, healing, right? There is no gauge, one of those things, there's no gauge of that faith. All it was putting action to the faith that I put in God. And I think about this, like how many times have I seen somebody pray for somebody in a wheelchair, for example? And somebody says, get up. And if you see the person just sit there like, I'm not walking. You know, but if somebody says, get up in Jesus' name, and you see that person go, like you start to see them get up, right? They're putting their faith in action, because we can pray all we want to. And if we just sit there, people can say in the name of Jesus, do this. Does that diminish the power of Jesus? No, but he's waiting for you to put your faith into action, because as soon as that person starts to try to stand up from that chair, guess what? That's the moment that the faith is activated and Holy Spirit can move in your life. And guess what? In the name of Jesus, people will rise from wheelchairs because they put their faith into action. But if you just sit there and listen to the words and do not apply the belief and don't put the action behind it, guess what? You'll remain. And how many places do we find in our lives where we just feel like, man, I've been stuck. I've been stuck right here for so long, right? I feel like I'm not growing. I feel like I'm not progressing. I feel like I'm not receiving the blessings that I see in here. And what I would say in that moment is, are you putting the action behind the faith that the Holy Spirit has given you? And that can mean so many different things for so many different people, right? Whether that be healing in our physical body, whether that mean emotional from traumatic experience, those things. Because oftentimes, again, like I spoke about earlier, if we're looking about the things in the past, if we look at anything in the past without having the goggles of the blood of Jesus Christ on them, it's not good. We're putting our focus in the wrong place because we're looking backwards. And again, I think about that story of Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, go get out of here. Don't look back, right? Why did she look back? Because she was thinking about the things of her past. And what did she do? She turned. And because of that, she became a pillar, an example. That's what that word means in the word. She became an example for all of us to see. Don't look back. When God brings freedom into your life, the comfort is there in that moment. As soon as you say yes to Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. He now lives inside of you. You just have to lean into him. Go get into the word so you know the truth about what it says. You know, it's good to listen to teachers. God has given those gifts. There's the fivefold ministry that God has given to the church to build up and to equip, right? We bring the revelations of God from the scripture, but it's not limited to that. As a matter of fact, it should be very personal in your own life. You should be in the word just as much as anybody functioning in the fivefold ministry. Make time to go and see the Word of God. Go and hear the Word of God. Because in those moments, that's when your faith is put into action, right? Because you see, hey, well, you did that for them right there. So you'll do that for me too. As I apply my faith, right? As I say, yeah, I'm going to push through the crowds. I'm going to push through life. I'm going to push through the obstacles and the circumstances that seem to just be crowding around me. Like all the people that were around Jesus in the moment where the woman was seeking her healing. Did it stop her? Absolutely not. Because she knew if she got there, she got exactly what she asked for in her heart. How many times do we give up before we get what we're asking for just because there's a crowd of life and circumstance and all of these things, right? That's not who God calls us to be. And that's what his Holy Spirit does within us, is brings the comfort in those moments, but also an empowerment, right? Like I've taught this before on the show, like, he's our biggest cheerleader, man. Like, he's the one on the inside saying, yes, you can do this. Keep going. Press through. Don't give up, right? He's not the voice of, well, you really screwed that one up, didn't you? That's not him, you know? And if you don't get into his word and know his heart, you won't even know that. You'll think, gosh, God's been beating me up big time, you know? No, he hasn't. But there has been a voice that has, and you thought it was God, but it wasn't, because you don't understand his heart. You've got to get into the word of God to know his heart. And you've got to get into the word of God to know your heart. Where should my heart be conditioned? Where should my eyes be focused on? When should I give up? Or not give up, right? Never. We don't ever give up. And you know, there's a scripture that comes to my mind in that moment. When I am weak, guess what? He's strong. He's strong. It's okay to recognize the weakness of the flesh. A matter of fact, that's usually a pretty good place to be in. Because in that moment, you realize, oh, wait a minute. There's a truth here. I'm weak. I'm beat up. I'm tired in this moment. That's when he shows up. That's when he becomes the strength that I can't do it anymore. That is, I think about, I did CrossFit. So we're like, we're sitting here, and we're lifting weights, right? And you get like, say you're going to do 10 reps. And you get to that number 8, and you're just like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't do this one, you know? And then you've got this coach, or you got just another member of the gym. They're sitting there, and what do they start doing? Let's go. You can do this, you know, and it's crazy. Like, you were at the end of your physical self. You felt it, right? You just felt the adrenaline dump. You couldn't do it. But as soon as those people start speaking and start encouraging, guess what? you knock out two more. And you didn't think you could do it. But if you were sitting in the gym by yourself, you know what? You would have dropped the weight at eight. Mm-hmm. You would have. I've been there, you know? I've been there in that place. The voice of encouragement is so important in our life, and that's who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. He's the voice of encouragement, the comforter. I'm going to take a break.
We have just a couple prayer requests this morning.